Welcome, Minifiners. If this is your first time listening, you have found the Minifinies podcast. I'm Alina Bard, and you're here to listen for mini epiphanies and expand your God box and bring mindfulness to your daily life. I hope that you have a comfortable place to sit and a cup of coffee or tea or something warm and cozy. It seems like it's still cold here in February. And I just want to invite you today to open your eyes to the world around you. I want to start with the Serenity Prayer. It's by Reinhold Niebuhr, if I'm saying that correctly, and I had never found it before. I had never looked up the entire thing, and I learned something new. So join me. You know this part. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. I bet you're like me and didn't know that there was a second part. I learned that today. God is not punishing you when life is hard. The world is full of pain, and our lives are a crazy mix of hardships and complications and joy and love. And that prayer sums it up perfectly. The beginning talks about the end, but the end clarifies the larger picture of the world, I think. I was in Santa Fe eating lunch alone in December, and I had a conversation that I don't think I will ever forget. I sat next to a surgeon and his wife who were enjoying a very festive vacation lunch, and I ended up talking to them, I think because she threw a napkin at the server or something, and so I started laughing and they involved me in their conversation, but we ended up comparing wedding planning to surgery. We were just talking about how both are this milestone event that affects how people view their lives. And during the actual process in transformation, his clients are asleep on a table and they can't see if he panics, and mine are awake. I have to be calm and ride the roller coaster. If I panic, they will panic. So we talked about how similar it was, yet how I almost have a harder job since I have to make sure that everyone is emotionally well throughout the process. It was quite funny. There are these moments that I am overwhelmed, and I am definitely not perfect, but I am excellent at being calm and connected and bringing peace and confidence into a room. I know how to prioritize what matters and put out fires in the right order. But life can always throw you a curveball. Even if you're skilled at putting out fires in your field of expertise, even if you've had two kids and you're on the third, there's always something new to learn. And this week I have a friend who's hurting, and a family, his family's hurting. And I just keep thinking about how life throws us these unexpected curveballs, and yet how at the exact same time, there's a beauty in the fact that through suffering, things come to a head, and that it means that there's a transition, and that although change is painful, it means that soon, even if there's kind of a recovery process, that there's a new direction, and there's hope for a positive experience or a better life after this suffering has come to an end. A friend of a friend has been to the Middle East, and he's been trained to look for potholes as potential bomb threats. And so he avoids and swerves away from every pothole, no matter where he's driving, no matter what road he's on. And if you saw him driving a bad road at night, you'd probably think he was drunk, but he's not. I was in Texas last week, where even the homeless are hospitable, and this man started complaining to me about how someone had stolen his guitar, and I told him that I was sorry for his situation, and then my lingering cold, which you might have caught on our last podcast, was a little stuffed up. My lingering cold made me cough as I was crossing the street with him, and he turned to me and he goes, "I know what that feels like too." And he connected with me. He found this mutual ground in the discomfort of a cold. We've probably all had a cold, and you know what that feels like, but you never know what someone has been through. You never know what pain they're walking through as we meet them for the first time, or as we speak to them, even our friends and immediate family. Sometimes we don't know. I used to intentionally practice the art of paying attention in grocery stores. Everyone has to eat, so you will find a varied crowd in a typical mid-grade grocery store, I believe. It's a great way to practice wondering what kind of life people live. You can tell who's granola, who has a lot of mouths to feed and doesn't mind if they have some GMOs in their basket, who's on a budget, who's had a bad day. A sweet friend of mine who's going through this same family I talked about a second ago, she reminded me that it's priceless to just smile at someone this week. She said, "You never know how just a smile could improve someone's day," and that she teaches that to her children. And I mentioned a few episodes ago how a server complimented me on my smile while I was working on the podcast. And the Whole Foods near my house has this, they have to train their employees to compliment everyone as they check out. It happens to me almost every single time I go in there. So I'm sure that they tell them this is a good way to spark a conversation. And it is. It's a great way to start a conversation, just to smile and compliment someone. It's so easy to be memorable and leave a positive impact on someone's life. So I'm feeling challenged, and I hope that you will too, that we don't always do it though. It's just not always on the forefront of our brains and our very busy day-to-day lives to slow down and pay attention to the people that are around us. And at the same time, wouldn't it be easy if life was labeled like a spice rack? If you could see someone and know that they've had a hard life or that they've had a hard day, so that you could be more gentle with them? Thank God some of us are intuitive. I think we just should play it on the safe side and assume everyone has had their own version of a hard life. And we should be gentle with them and give them grace and mercy on a day-to-day basis as we run into strangers. If you can think about that next time somebody cuts you off, then maybe you'll think of things a little bit differently. You never know if somebody's speeding and driving like a maniac because their wife is having a baby in the passenger seat. I mean, you just never know. You never know who's driving on their way to a funeral, and that's why they can't even focus and turn on their blinker. You know, if you had these labels like a spice rack on your forehead, abused by someone, divorced, estranged from someone, in conflict with a friend, had a loved one pass away, have a friend in the hospital, have a full plate, planning a wedding. Heck, I've been all of those things. I would be scrolling across my forehead like one of those big LED lights. None of us would want to be that vulnerable on a day-to-day basis, but simply acknowledging how complicated our lives are, I think, can remind us to have grace and mercy for those around us. We have no idea what they've been through, no idea what they're going through. So be kind to your neighbor. Look at people through love this week. Compliment a stranger. Let the hurried, annoying lady at the grocery store have a place in front of you in the line. Remind them that there is kindness in the world. Maybe they don't have anyone to remind them of that. And share with me your story. Get on Facebook and tell us what you did to improve the life of a stranger this week. Coming back to the Serenity Prayer, share with us how you chose to enjoy the moment, how you accepted hardships as a pathway to peace, or accepted the world as it is. Share how you're trusting that God will make things right and surrendering control. On March 25th, I'm going to host an EFT day. The emotional freedom technique is where you tap on specific meridian points to remove unresolved emotional issues and clear out underlying beliefs. When I went through Holistic Kinesiology Institute, I believe that's what it's called. We wrote out our next chapter. We would write out a whole page of where we want to be in the next 3 to 5 years or in the next year or something like that. I think you could set your own time frame. And you'd write out where you want to be, and you were supposed to make sure it was challenging, something that you didn't believe could happen. And then we'd go through the entire kind of journal entry by using EFT and figure out what words are too scary, what words we have self-doubt about, what things are holding us back. And it's really life-changing. So if you're curious or interested in joining us, shoot me a message and I'll be sure to send you an invite when we have a location and a rough headcount, but you can save the date for now. It'll be March 25th and we'll be meeting in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I just want to thank you for listening today. If your app is still open, please leave us a review. Thank you to the three of you who have already left reviews. It means the world to me. I want to continue to get to know each other better over time, and I want to encourage you again to comment and leave your thoughts and reflections on our Facebook, or if you want to be more private, to email me directly at alinabard.com. If this monophony impacted your life for the better, please share it with a friend. And from the bottom of my soul, I hope this has been a mini epiphany. I hope that you'll look at the people around you with a different perspective this week.